that this is home. We're glad that this is home. I want to welcome you this morning. I see a nice little baby in the front row. What's up, dude?
Second row.
The first row is kind of an invisible row. It doesn't usually exist. I tell everyone I don't spit that far. It only goes a few feet and then it stops, so you're safe, but that's all right. But I'm glad to see you guys here today. Some of you look more awake than I've seen you in about a year. After daylight savings time, you know, this is the freebie. This is the chance where everyone gets to show up to church on time, right? Because you thought you were showing up late, so you got here early. It was awesome today. So welcome. Make sure you check it out. We start at 10 every week. It's amazing. So it's a good time. But I'm so glad that you're here today. And today I get to share a message that's really, really close to my heart. Obviously, we've been going through the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, verse by verse, and looking at what the Lord wants to teach us and the teachings of Jesus. And this morning, we find ourselves in a section, again, that's very close to my heart. The title of my message today, as you can see, is We Are the Sent Ones. And I want to talk about what that looks like and what that means to us and what that's all about. And for any of you who have gone through our Next Steps growth track, which, by the way, we're kicking off today. If you've never gone through that, today's a good opportunity to get plugged in. But if you've never gone through that, or maybe if you've gone through that, you've heard the story I'm about to share. And so if you've heard it, just bear with me because you get to hear it again. But this is really the heartbeat of ministry for me. As we were about to come to Simi Valley almost 4 years ago, or I guess we're in our fourth year, as we were headed to Simi Valley as a family, we made a pit stop, kind of our last free weekend of the season, and we went to Disneyland. Now, Disneyland is an amazing place, but when you go with kids, it can be a little bit tiring. You know what I'm saying? Anyone been there with little ones? You know, man, Disneyland, when I was in college and my wife and I were just running around the park and just having fun, was totally different. But when you go there with kids and they make it an all-day event because you have to because it costs so much money, you got to get every second. And when you start in the beginning of the day about noon, you find yourself slowly looking everywhere for a place to sit down. You know what I mean? You're just looking to just ooze into a chair somewhere and kick your feet up. Well, we found ourselves in that position around 1 o'clock or so in the afternoon, maybe noon. And we find ourselves in the very far back of the park, Toontown. Maybe you guys know where that is in Disneyland. And we found this amazing table had just opened up. We all just sat. And Anaheim in the middle of summer is like 4 billion degrees, if you know what I mean. And the pavement just radiates heat. And so we're just in the shade, just loving life. I think we got those little squirt bottles and we're squirting ourselves. And it was heaven on earth. It was amazing. And we did what parents of multiples do. Maybe if you've got more than one child in your family, you know you do this. You start doing the count. You know what I mean? 1, 2, 3, and it was easy back then, and we only had to count to 3. I told my wife, when I ran out of fingers on one hand, I said, we're done, I can't count any higher than that. But we only had 3, and so we did the count, 1, 2, oh no, where's Eli? And if you've ever had those kind of moments where you lose a child, or you know, someone who can't take care of himself, he was like knee-high to a grasshopper then. He was 2 years old or so, and panic sets in, right? And because of social media and the internet, we see every horror story there is, don't we? We hear of child abductions and kids getting taken from Disneyland. And we hear all these horror stories. And so, of course, we just sat around and enjoyed the shade, right? No. We got up, like, come on, we got to find Eli. Eli's missing. And so, you know, we do what every family group does in a situation like that. He said, all right, you go look over there. You go look over there. I'm going to look this way. Let's find him. And we're looking under strollers, and we're looking in garbage cans, and we're looking under trees, and we're looking everywhere we can think. Where would this kid go? Because we need to find my lost son. And of course, we found him a few feet away in a store. I think he had his eyes on a hand of those giant Mickey hands, you know, those really cool ones. He had his eye on some sort of toy in there, but we found him. He was safe, and he was found. But in that moment, when I found our son, my lost son, I had this simple and profound thought come into my mind, which I recognized to be the Lord. And I feel like I heard the voice of the Lord remind me in that moment and in the moments looking back on it since. Would you search like that for my lost children? Would you search like that for mine? And in that moment, I was reminded of the Father heart of God, that we have a Father in heaven. And he's got children who are lost all around our city. He's got children who are lost all around our nation, all around our world. And for some, they've been lost for so long that they don't even recognize that they're lost anymore. What if as a church, what if as a church, instead of thinking of ourselves just as a social club or a cool place to relax, right? Kind of like that little seating area in Toontown was for us. Instead of seeing it as a place with comfy chairs and an air conditioner and maybe a mystery for our face, what if instead we would catch the vision of what God had called us to do, the identity that he'd created for us as his search party? What if God could count on you and me to be his search party, to be his representatives, to fan out across our city, to fan out across our region and say, God, I want to go out on a rescue mission looking for your lost sons and your lost daughters because they matter to you. And if we could, and we can, but if we would, I believe we'd see God's kingdom come to Simi Valley as it is in heaven. And we'd see many lost sons and daughters come back into the family and be rescued and saved. And this morning we look back in the Gospel of Luke to Jesus' first sending of men and women like you and me, people just like us, going out into the world. And as we continue this verse-by-verse study, we see the call of the church to take up this identity, this banner, to be the sent people of God, to be the sent ones. And in fact, this morning we're going to look at this, and this is the day we look at, the day that we, along with all of our Christian brothers and sisters throughout history, could say without conviction that we are the sent ones. In fact, I'm going to have you say that a few times with me today. So when you see me point at you, I want you to say it. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
You guys ready? Feeling good? Okay, ready? We are the sent ones. Good. You guys sound great, by the way. We're going to say that a few times today because I hope that the Lord would put that down in your spirit, that you'd begin to take hold of that identity. You'd say, not of your neighbor, not of your pastor, not of your church, but of yourself, I am the sent one. I've been sent by God to my city, to my neighborhood. See, some people will look at their pastors, they'll look to missionaries, they'll look to others, they, right, whoever they are. Their job is to be the sent ones for God. But I believe with every fiber of my being that God calls us to take this identity to ourselves, to say, it's not they, it's we. And it's not we, it's me. It's my calling. It's my purpose to be a sent one of God. And so let's read the scriptures today. We're going to read Luke chapter 10. We're going to read the first 12 verses, and then we're going to dive in. Feel free to follow along on the screen. Luke 10, 1 through 12. It says this, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly. Say earnestly.
Earnestly.
Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they will not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dirt of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Now, to give you a little context of our scripture, it's a big section. We're not going to be able to dive deep into every bit of it, but Jesus had already sent out his 12, these men that he called his apostles, and he had sent them out on a very similar mission just a few chapters ago, and they were sent out to have a show-and-tell time. Remember show-and-tell when you were a kid in school? You'd bring in your stuff, and I'm going to show you, and then I'm going to tell you about it. See, he sent the apostles to show and tell the good news of the gospel, to show them good things by healing their sick and doing good works and setting people free that were enslaved to the demonic, and by telling them about this good news that the kingdom was coming, the kingdom was near. They were to show and tell. And so very often, we have this impression, I don't know where we get it, but we have this impression, I do know where we get it, that showing the gospel is more important than telling the gospel. And sometimes we hear this quote that's falsely been attributed to a famous saint of God: preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. Have you ever heard that or seen that around the internet? There's lots of things like that, but when I first heard it, I thought, what a great idea. Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And that sounds nice. We should back up what we say, and I think the inverse is true, right? If we don't back up what we're saying, then what we're saying doesn't really matter, right? If we're just telling and not showing, then we're missing the point. But as I began to think about it and really meditate on it, I realized there's no way that could be true. First of all, there's a man named St. Francis of Assisi who's often attributed with this quote. And first of all, there's no historical record he said it. But more than that, he was a man that didn't just serve without preaching. In fact, this man, as we see the apostles do, and as we see Jesus command all of his followers to do, he went and he showed the good news of the gospel, but he also taught it. In fact, he preached multiple times per day, this man did, everywhere he went. I don't want to go into too much detail, but all that to say this: there's something important about our actions. We can talk and talk all we want, but if we don't back up our talk with actions, with the love of God demonstrated and shown, then we're missing the point. But if we just show the good news of the gospel and never open our mouths to tell the good news, then we're missing the point. Both are important. And God is looking for men and women to reclaim their identity, to say not just with their words, but also with their actions. And what does he want us to say? Go ahead, Luke or Jake, put it on the screen. Ready? Go.
We.
Let's try that again with power. Ready? Go.
We.
Good. So let's dive into that scripture this morning. I want to look at just a few ideas from the section of text. The first idea is this: we are God's plan to reach the world with the good news of the gospel. We are God's plan to reach the world with the good news of the gospel. See, God chooses to use people. Sometimes I wonder, are you sure, God, there's not a better way to do this thing, right? But God chooses to use people, ordinary people, people for his search party, looking for his lost sons and daughters, people like you and like me. And sometimes God uses people in his search party that we look at and we think, God, are you sure you wanted to use that one? Because his life isn't perfect quite yet. His mouth isn't perfect quite yet. You know what I mean? His stuff is not perfect yet, but God chooses to use people for his team. And sometimes I'll find myself looking in the mirror saying, God, are you sure you want to use me for this news spreading operation? But we are God's plan for the world. In fact, Jesus teaches the disciples to pray in Luke 10:2. He says this. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. They're few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. See, Jesus is teaching us that there is a ripe harvest field all around us. There are men and women right outside our doors just waiting to be harvested into the kingdom of God. And it's plentiful and it's ready. Maybe you've seen, I had the great joy of living in Northern California and being in wine country and seeing all the grapevines. And when you go there during the season of harvest, it's a glorious thing to see. There's all these grapes and they're just waiting for someone just to come along and just to pluck them off the vine and to put them in their basket. And God gives us this picture. He says, God's saying, I've got fruit on the vines outside your doors, and it's just waiting. I'm looking for men and women who will go out and take those grapes off the vine. I'm looking for men and women who will do those things, who will grab hold of the harvest that I've got for them. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking to you. It's true. He's talking about you. I am talking about you. God is looking for a person just like you. He's looking for you to live sent in your city and begin asking, God, where can I make a difference with my life? Where can I use what you've given me to make a difference? Some of us got some pruning shears in our hands, and there's a harvest around, and we say, God, what can I do? And he's saying, go take the harvest. Go reap the harvest. Where can I make a difference? And by the way, that is the primary driver for Serve See Me, as Jim shared a little bit ago. If you've been over here with us over the last few weeks, you've begun to hear some of our vision and heart for reaching out and loving our city with the love of Jesus. And we began as a church to begin asking the question, God, how have you uniquely positioned us to make a difference in our city? Because don't you know that, man, we can look around our city, we can look around our world and just be overwhelmed by all the things that we could do or should do or things that could be done by the church or could be done by people, and we just get overwhelmed. And so we began asking, God, what is the thing that we can do to make a difference? In fact, if you joined us last month at our first Wednesday, I challenged you to begin asking that question personally. God, how would you use me to change my neighborhood? How would you use me to make a difference in my family, in my city, in my block, in my workplace, in my school environment, and whatever the places you've sent me? But we asked this question as a church, and I feel like the Lord gave us one key to reaching our city and showed us one area of need that we're uniquely capable of reaching out to. See, again, as a church, we want to do everything, right? There's so many things we could and would love to do. And perhaps by God's grace, we'll have a capacity increase and be able to reach more and more needs. But we said, God, what is the one thing you're calling us to do in this season, in this city that we love so much, called Simi Valley? How can we make a difference? And the Lord put on our heart single-parent families and families who were struggling and in need. And the Lord began to put a vision and a passion in my heart and my wife's heart and other leaders in our church's heart. And we said, Lord, how can we start putting our money and our time where our mouth is, right? We don't want to just say we love families, but Lord, how can we begin strategically reaching out and loving those people? And that's where we got a couple of ideas that you've heard about. I'm going to totally jump on Rebecca's announcements again. She'll share them a little bit later, but we love to do that around here. But our laser tag night that we've got going on tomorrow night, I think we've got just over 100 families, 100 people that are going to be coming to this event tomorrow night. Yeah, praise God. Me praying the Lord would do what he wants to do. Because we've said this very clearly, it's a free event, there's no strings attached. We'll be there if you need prayer, you have questions, or you want to know what's going on. We're there to be there for you. But we're just going to be there to have fun. But we're going to be ready for those Holy Spirit-led conversations about the reason. Why would you do this? Why would you love? Later this month, we'll be hosting our fourth annual Night of Thanks. I'm excited about that. Our team is excited about putting that event on. And so that registration is open as well. Again, where we're going to be opening up the doors and inviting people that don't have any place to hang out for Thanksgiving on a Sunday right before Thanksgiving. Come share a meal. It's free. We just want to love you and bless you and serve you and be there as a place for you to give thanks to God for whatever it is you have to give thanks for. And the month after that, in December, we're going to be inviting a whole bunch of moms and dads to drop their kids off, because we found that people who have kids love their children, but sometimes they want to get away from them for a little bit. And so we're going to do a kids game night, and we're going to have an opportunity for them to drop off their kids and to just enjoy an evening and be away from their children for a few hours. And we're going to love on them and have games and fun and give them sugar and send them home. Because that's what we do. We do it like a family around here, but that's what grandparents do, right? Yeah. Right? I'm looking at you grandparents around. You guys know what that's like. But we're also going to be able to bless about 20 or so of those moms or dads with a gift card, a $100 gift card to go shopping for Christmas gifts. And so again, as we began to put that down and say, all right, Lord, how much is it going to cost? How much do we have? The Lord provided miraculously along the way for us to do this. And we love to say, hey, instead of 20, we're going to do 40 parents and families, but it just takes more resources. God's got resources. But here's the deal. We began asking the question, God, with what we have in our hand right now, how can we begin to make a difference? Because don't you know, it's so easy to say, God, if I had more, I would do it. But God says, what do you have now? Will you use what you've got and I'll add to it? I'll take that talent and I'll multiply it and I'll give you another one and I'll give you another one and I'll give you more capacity and I'll give you more quantity to work with if you're faithful with it. But sometimes we look at our gifts and we look at what we have in our hand and we say, God, it's not enough. It's not enough because what they have is more than what I have. So I won't do anything with what I do because there's always someone with more, right? More resources or more time or more natural ability. But we are God's plan to reach the world with the good news of the gospel. And Jesus is looking for his workers. He's saying, will you go for me? Will you go for me and be laborers in my work field? See, church, we are God's plan A. There is no plan B. Some of you didn't realize that or hadn't thought about that or hadn't considered that, but there is no plan B. God's plan to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, God's plan to rescue his lost sons and daughters in our city is us. We are God's plan A, and there's no greater calling, no greater thing we could invest and serve and pour out our lives to than to being on God's search party and rescuing his lost children. I'll tell you what, when a father's reunited with his lost son. By the way, Eli does that all the time still. Just this last week, he did it again, just to give me fresh illustrations for y'all. But I got to get a leash. I don't like the leashes for kids, but he needs one, so we're going to get him one. But that's an anecdote for another story. But there's no greater thing we could invest our lives to than going and searching out for God's lost children. To being his sent people in the world, to showing and telling the good news of Jesus, because again, we are the sent ones. We're the sent ones. We are the ones that Jesus sends on his mission to reach his children, to reach the lost in our city. In fact, here's what God reminds us about the church. And by the way, the church ain't this building. The church is you and me. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're the church. Ephesians 1:22, and he put all things under Jesus's feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. And what is the church? Verse 23, it is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. How big is the church supposed to be? Are we supposed to be hidden over in a corner? Are we supposed to be in our own little social bubble over here in the sidelines of our culture, of our world? No, we are the body of Jesus Christ, the God who's so big, he fills how much of this created world? He fills all of it. He fills all in all. That's kind of like a little bit over and above. It's not just all, it's all in all. And God says that as his body, we are the fullness of God. And God wants to fill up all in all. That's pretty big. I don't know how to say that, but God wants us to take up our identity as his sent ones. He wants us to take up our identity and reclaim our identity as his ambassadors in our world. Because, I'll say it one more time. You guys ready? We are the sent ones. We are God's plan to reach the world with the good news of the gospel. And the second thing that I believe our scripture declares to us is that we're the light of the world. And we go to bring peace to the world. See, as sent ones of God, God sends us to bring peace to corners of our world that need peace. Don't you know that there's a lot of corners in our world that need peace? There's a lot of corners of our world in our city that need peace. And God sends us to be his peacemakers and his peacekeepers in our world, to not only bring the love of God, but also, I love the scriptures use this metaphor that we're to bring the aroma of God where we go. And that's awesome. We don't have bad news to bring into the world. Aren't you glad that we don't have a bad gospel? Gospel means good news. That we have good news to bring to the world. Aren't you guys glad for that? That we're not selling something to the world. We're not telling them they gotta do all this work for God. All they gotta do is receive the love of God through Jesus Christ. That's the good news, friends. And when Jesus sends us out, he sends us with a blessing. We looked at this when we saw the apostles get sent out, but Luke 10, 5. He says, whenever you enter a house, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. First, I want you to say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest upon him, but if not, it will return to you. See, what we see that Jesus, he sent out his apostles first with this same sort of mandate, and he sends out all of us with this same sort of mandate, that we're to be a people that lead with a blessing, that lead with peace, that lead with grace, that lead with love. And our job is not to go into our city and to lead with a curse, to go in and say, curse you, right? Aren't you glad that we're not that team? That's not our team, right? Amen to that. I'm so glad that's not our team. That's not Team Jesus. Jesus says we're to go into the city and lead with a blessing, lead with peace. See, God can and does transform us. He will change and transform our values and our morals and our mouths and all the rest of our behavior and our external stuff. But God sends his people to bring peace to the city first. To love people so radically, so abundantly, so scandalously that they'd say, why? Why would you love me when I'm not so very lovable? Why would you love that person whom everyone in my neighborhood dislikes, right? Everyone wants to be kicked out of the apartment complex, or he's too loud or too noisy or too this or too that. Why do you love him? Why would you serve us? I hope and pray there will be families that will ask that question. Why would you serve us? Why would you pay us to go have fun? Why would you take care of our kids for free? Why would you serve us a meal for free? Why would you love our city that way, our family that way? See, we're called to be a people that bring light to the darkness, because there's a lot of pockets of darkness. In fact, that's what Jesus did. See, Jesus is the light. John 8, 12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, Jesus brought light to darkness. And in the dark places of our world, places that aren't used to seeing the light, God wants our people to walk not in darkness anymore. You ever stumbled around in the darkness? Maybe you thought you were trying to be like brave like me when I try to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, or I walk downstairs to get water. There's always a Lego piece in the most inappropriate place, right? I always step on something, but God wants us to walk not in darkness. And not only is Jesus the light, but he declares of you and of me that we are the light as well. Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can sometimes hide. Is that what it says? It says a city on a hill cannot be hidden. See, but the problem for many of us followers of Jesus is that we're hidden from sight from the world. We've bought into this idea that to follow Jesus is something that I'm going to take and I'm going to love it and I'm going to hold it and I'm going to hide it away in my pocket for next Sunday. That to follow Jesus means, man, it's just about me and Jesus. It's just me opening my Bible and reading my Bible, but God doesn't want to change my life. But here's the deal. If we take our Christian faith and we pocket it away, we don't allow our light to shine. We don't allow our lives to make a difference outside of our church experience. Then we're missing something. That was never God's intention. What did Jesus say? You're the light of the world. The city on a hill cannot be hidden. But sometimes we try and hide it. See, we're to fill the world with the light of God's love, but more than that, it's way more than that. Have you ever walked into a mall? Come on now. and you smelled that smell.
Cinnabon.
You know what I'm talking about. I know you do. She just said it. You know that smell. I mean, I don't care if you're on a kale diet or you're on a no-carb diet or you just don't like life. When you walk in and you smell that smell, you know, the Cinnabon smell, the heavenly manna from heaven that they create in their magical ovens at Cinnabon. When you smell that, I don't care who you are. Your mouth begins to water. Some of y'all's mouths are watering right now. We're going to have to clean the floor when we're done. Just thinking about that smell, but you know that smell. Right? Well, God says that our lives should be like that. That our lives should leave an aroma, but not the kind that sometimes we think our lives are going to leave. That kind of aroma, a Cinnabon kind of aroma. This is what the scriptures declare, 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us, catch this, spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. See, God says that as we live our lives in this world, He said we should be like a tiny little Cinnabon in our neighborhood. That man, when people get near us, they're like, man, something's good over there, right? There's something pleasing over there. And the way we do that is by leading with peace, by serving and showing and telling the good news of the gospel. See, our life should exude the aroma of Christ. And we can do that by living scent because, say it again with me, ready, go. We are the sent ones. See, we are God's plan to reach the world. And God's plan is to bring light to the darkness in our world. And He does that through us. See, we are His sent people. And we don't go with all the answers. But we know the Father who has all the answers, don't we? See, we are the sent ones of God, and we don't go having perfect lives, but we go with the knowledge of the one who perfects our lives, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. See, we are the sent ones, and we don't go with all of the power or the right words to say or knowing everything we're supposed to do, but God's Holy Spirit empowers us, equips us with everything we need to do this thing called being sent to our world because, once again, ready? We are the sent ones. But let me ask you, friend, will you go? Will you go? Because you're going to go back home. You're going to go back out of these doors. You're going to do those things, but will you go for God? Will you take on that identity as the sent one of God? And I want to share one final scripture that's really my prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to Rebecca, who's going to pray for us and lead us in prayer. But here's my prayer for you, friend, that today would be a new day for you. It's a new day for all of us, by the way, but today would be a new day. And God's call for you, my friend, is that you would take upon yourself that identity as God's sent one. That you'd look in the mirror and say, I'm God's plan A. I better get up. I better go out into the harvest field. I better reorient my life around this plan and mission that God has for me. That's God's purpose for you, that you would make a difference. But to do that, to make a difference, you've got to resolve to go for God. I want to share one final scripture and then we'll conclude in prayer. Isaiah 6, the Lord speaks to Isaiah and has this conversation with him, and one that I feel the Lord is speaking to us. Isaiah 6, 8, Isaiah says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me to my city. Here I am, Lord, send me to my neighborhood. May I be a tiny Cinnabon in my neighborhood. May I be the pleasing aroma of your grace and your love and your peace to the neighbors that live next door and across the street and down the way from me. God, may my life be like that. Here I am, Lord, send me. Church, would we pray together? Would you pray with me? Pastor Rebecca, would you come up? I want to ask that the Holy Spirit would fill us up with His Spirit. that he would fill us up for this great mission that he's called us to, because we are the sent ones. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord of heaven? Lord, we thank you for your word today.
I want you guys to say those words with me. Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. You know, Pastor Brian's right. God's looking for men and women just like that who are going to rise up to his call and say, yes, God, send me. I'm ready. Send me. Perhaps you've discounted your ability and you're like, nope, I can't be used by God. That's not what he says. He wants to use you. Maybe you think your gift is too small. You look at other people and you're like, oh, but they can do so much. But God has a plan and a purpose for you to be used by him. He has people that only you can reach. Maybe you say, my baggage is just too big. I've lived a messed up life. There's no way God can use me. Let me tell you, he can use you mightily for his kingdom. You have a story to tell, and he wants you to tell it. Maybe you say, you know what? I just can't do it. I can't. That's not at all what God says. He sees you. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. And he knows the plans that he has for you to use you. All he's doing is he's looking for people to stand in the gap. He's looking for people that are willing to go out of their comfort zone, out of the four walls of their home, to go into their neighborhoods, to go into their workplaces. Maybe like me with my children, just the other day, I went up to a homeless person because God told me, hey, go to that guy. And I'm in my car driving away and I'm like, but I have somewhere to be. So I drove around the parking lot like four times and finally I came and I stopped right by him. I got out and I told my boys, I'm gonna be right back. And they watched as I went up and I talked to this man and it just broke my heart. I walked over and he had no dignity. He just hung his head in shame. And it was like God said, I see you. I'm providing for you. I didn't have much, but I gave him what I had. I gave him food that I had. I gave him money because God told me to. God sent me to that man. And I responded and I said, here I am. I'm going, Lord. I might look silly to other people, but I'm going anyway because you told me to do it. And that is what he's looking for in his people in this room. He's looking for that from you, that you would go when he says to go, that you would make a difference. I really just want to encourage you this morning. Maybe that's you're saying, but God, where do I go? Who do I go to? I don't know who that is. Let's ask God together to uncover your purpose, that he would give you those moments where he says, go, and you would respond and say, I'm going, Lord. Maybe this morning you're saying, but how can God use me? That's a big ask, and I'm just not ready. I'm not there yet. I'm not there. Let's ask God for the courage to make a difference with our life, for the courage to stand up and get out of our comfort zone and go. We are a sent people. We are sent ones. God is sending you. I want to read you guys a passage as I was praying about this last night from Jeremiah 29 that I had marked up all in my Bible. I'm going to read it to you. It says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of your city where I have sent you and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. God has sent you into this city. You are not here by mistake. It's on purpose. It's on his purpose. He said, I have sent you to this city. So this morning, I want to begin asking God to do a miracle in our city. I want to begin to ask God to do a miracle, and then it would start with us, that we would stand up and we say, here I am, Lord, send me. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to be bold, and I want you to just stand up, put your arms up in response to the Lord and say, here I am, Lord, send me. And I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you, that the Lord would give you opportunity this week to be his sent ones, to Simi Valley, to your neighborhoods, to your workplaces, to wherever you are. I want to pray for you right now, God. God, we thank you so much. I thank you for each and every one here that is standing boldly with arms raised saying, God, here I am, send me. Lord, that is our heart's cry. Would you send us into this city? Would you send us out of the walls of our home and into our neighborhoods, our streets, our marketplaces, into our workplaces, Lord? Wherever it is, Lord, I pray that this week you would begin to give opportunity to each and every one here with their hands raised, Lord, that you would give them opportunity to be your sent ones, to go and show and tell the good news of Jesus to this world that is so desperately in need of him. God, we thank you. I pray that you would give them boldness and courage, Lord, and opportunity throughout this week, Lord. And we come back next week, I pray, Lord, that there would be testimonies, stories to tell of what you have done through your people, the sent ones. We thank you so much for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can take a seat. Now, with everyone sitting, if you can just close your eyes for just one moment and every head bowed. Perhaps you're here within the sound of my voice and you've never made that commitment to following Jesus. You've never received his free gift of mercy and grace for your sins. If that's you this morning, I believe that you're here to take the first step of faith, and that's to receive his free gift of forgiveness and grace for the very first time. Jesus said it clearly, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. And he said, if you don't though, I won't. So there's something important about agreeing with someone here, saying, yes, I believe in Jesus. And in a moment, I want to give you the opportunity to do so. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to do anything strange. I just want you to acknowledge your decision between you and God. I don't believe you're here by accident. I believe God brought even just one of you here this morning to give you his free gift of salvation, to begin a relationship with you. And if you haven't been walking in relationship with Jesus and you'd like to admit to God your need for his forgiveness for your past, your need for his power for your today, and your need for eternal life in your future, I just want to pray with you in just a moment. I'm going to ask you, if that's you, would you just, every other head bowed and eye closed, would you lift up your hand so that I can see you? And I just want to acknowledge with you what you're doing this morning. Lord Jesus, would you guys repeat with me? I believe you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life and heart to be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you always. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and celebrate with those who have said yes. And I do have just a few announcements for you this morning before we conclude this time. In just a moment, we're going to be collecting those connections.